Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Tune in, grow in faith.
And it is Friday. 1st of May, it is Workers' Day, and I hope as a worker, you are well rested. Now, as you know, every single Friday, you and I review a couple of books, whether it be for locals, as in Gauteng, or also South African. But the great news is I have with me in studio Pastor Neville Solomon on the other side of the studio. Greetings, good afternoon, welcome to Radio Pulpit, Pastor Solomon.
Good afternoon, Luco, and thank you very much for having me here, and good afternoon to the listeners as well.
It's only a pleasure. Now, like I said to you early on off air, I really, really want to see us get to a place, especially our children, you know, where we are actively reading, not because we're told to, but because it's a beautiful hobby, actually. I'm going to make a confession, though. I still struggle with that. But I understand the importance so much.
Well, fortunately, I don't have a problem with that because I'm an avid reader and I enjoy reading extremely a lot.
Oh, okay. That's exactly why you decided writing is your thing.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Now, Pastor Solomon is the author of a very interesting book, guys. And this is why we're seated here today. How to Sabotage Your Children. Now, the parent in me is like, why would I want to sabotage my children? Come on now. Now, Pastor Solomon, what a captivating title. Is this the same reaction you get everywhere you go?
Yes, I've been on Rainbow FM recently as well. And the presenter also said to me, wow, what a title. And how did you get here? And, you know, why did you call it this? So, yeah.
Sure.
People
okay.
are intrigued by the title.
Now, is it your first book?
Yes, it's my first book.
Okay.
And then the second one is in line. It's going to be called How to Build Your Children.
Oh, I love that. The huge transition from sabotaging them to building them.
To building them, yeah.
Now, let's talk about you, Pastor Solomon, before we get into your book, because I really want to understand who you are and who you are to writing, actually, before we get into the book. Who is Pastor Solomon? Are you a parent? Are you a husband? Are you an avid reader, like you say? Who are you exactly?
Yeah, well, I am a parent as well, but unfortunately at the moment I am divorced as well, but it's directly the result of being sabotaged. It's not a deliberate separation or divorce, but that's the result of being sabotaged.
Sure.
But yes, I'm a father. I'm also an advocate for fatherhood. I'm looking to establish my organization called Fatherhood Through Transformation. But I've got a signature seminar or workshop that I'm looking to present, and it's called The Power of Presence. So that workshop comes directly out of the book, How to Sabotage Your Children.
Sure.
So for that reason, I'm advocating for fathers to be present more than anything else.
I'm going to ask you a bit of a sensitive question. Did you have a father around when you grew up? And why such a huge passion for the subject of fatherhood?
Yes, I had, to answer you shortly, yes, I had a father growing up. But I had a very abusive father. Extremely abusive, emotionally, physically, economically. And I highlight the following, just not sexually.
Okay.
But he was extremely abusive, not only to me, but to we five children. So he was basically abusive to four because my one brother didn't grow up with us.
So he was fortunate in that way.
Yes.
Oh.
And you can see the vast difference between us and him.
Sure.
In terms of him growing up differently than us.
Mm.
But my father was very abusive towards my siblings and my mother especially.
Mm. Mm.
So that was brought about because of alcohol.
Oh, he was but abusive to alcohol as well. And as result,
well.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but you know what was such a big contrast here? Is that when my father was sober.
He was the sweetest man.
He was the sweetest person.
Oh, my
person
goodness, how did I see this one coming?
Yes, the sweetest person to be with. Well, not
sweet,
but you could be around him.
He wasn't the monster you'd see when he's drunk.
Yes, but when he went out, he never drank. In the home.
Oh.
He always went out, and you know those days we grew up in Western Colour Township.
Mm.
So he'd also always go to his friends and wherever, and he'd come back and he'd be drunk.
This is actually sad if you think about it, Pastor Solomon, because it means in his sober state of mind he knew things that he could not do in front of his children as well.
Yes.
Sure.
So one of the things also would be that, you know, when he's sober, then you do something wrong. But you don't know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
According to him. But it's wrong. You don't like what you just did or maybe what you said. That is what we assumed.
Mm.
Because the minute he comes back and he's drunk, then that would be the spark for his anger.
Oh, so he would use that as a basis of his anger.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, this is really interesting. By the way, I picked up something common between you and I. Come from a family of five. I come from a family of five. But listen, and then you grew up under these circumstances, Pastor Solomons. But then you are now a father, and you then say, hey, I want to be a good father. I want to be a better father. And you end up scripting this book. Tell us about this book. Why are you sabotaging your children? What is this book all about?
Well, you know, when I became of age, 2021 normally, I decided, just like you said, I'm going to start my own family. But now, I started a family simply because I wanted to get out of my father's house.
Mm.
At that time, he was still alive. And for me, it was, this is the end. I'm not going to tolerate this abuse anymore.
Yeah.
But I never decided, like you just mentioned now, I'm going to be a good father to my children.
Sure.
I just decided it's time to get out. And the only way is getting married, have children, have my own family. But you know, Luca, what is so sad about the whole thing is that I took exactly the same behavior into my family.
Sure.
I never changed, but I was not also deliberate in saying, this is the type of family I'm going to have. I'm going to have a better family, or I'm going to have an abusive family, or I'm going to be abusive towards my family. No. Those things are so subtly inculcated into you that you don't even realize that you are replicating
exactly
the exact behavior unbeknown to you.
Sure.
And it's only when I came to my age of 65,
sure,
say between 60-65, you know, I sat still and I wonder what happened to my life. You know, why am I not successful? Why haven't I achieved significance?
Sure.
And yes, I always say to people, you have a responsibility as a person to make a success of your life.
Mm.
But, you know, I couldn't understand why in my youth and growing up, even in my 40s, 50s, why did it occur to me that you need to become something.
Yeah.
But unbeknown, I replicated. His life was just liquor and smoking and, you know, having fun and having a job. Mm. Of course, he had a job. He took care of the family somewhat. But I did the same. Sure. As long as I had a job, I provided for my family, I bought clothes for my kids, it was fine.
You felt like it was enough at that moment, yeah.
You know, and went out drinking, smoking, partying with friends. Exactly what he did.
Did you not have a moment in that period of your life where you thought you were doing better? Because I'll tell you why I'm asking this. My older brother always says, he always knew what type of a father he did not want to be just by looking at my father and the relationship we had with him. But surprisingly enough, and he always says this with my twin brother, and he says, it's surprising to me because I'm this man that I am now because I just did not want to be like him. And I look at your twin brother and I'm like, he's doing exactly the things our dad would do. And my question, and this is my brother, he says, my question always is, did dad's behavior not torture him? Was it not terrible enough? And so why is he not spotting these? And it makes me wonder, Uti, when you live in that moment, are you able to see those, or is it just a matter of, hey, this is life? Because the reality is you saw those and you decided to eliminate yourself from that arrangement. But like you say, you went and replicate that. Did it ever occur to you that your children were probably seeing the same picture of your dad, or were you just going on with your life?
No, it never occurred to me. I was just going on with my life.
Mm.
But in the same moment, in that moment, the only thing I wanted for my children is to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess my father most probably had the same
thought
in his mind that this child must be good.
Mm.
You know, you don't specify how this child must be good or what are the criteria for this child to be good. All you know is a father, and I knew that too.
Mm.
This child must be good.
He must turn out well.
He mustn't do nonsense. He mustn't be disobedient. He mustn't be rude. Those are the type of things by which you measure the child, which is wrong.
Mm, true, especially, you know, when you're not injecting it in them, actually.
Yes. You may not be rude, or you may not be doing the wrong things according to yourself. But the things that you are trying to instill in your child is so far from anything that is right or that is beneficial
true.
To the child, that you're missing the mark totally.
Mm.
And that is what I was going through. And all I thought was, I must do my best in raising this child. You know, the aim is get a child through school
and
let a child fly. Where they're going to fly to,
it's up to them.
As long as I've done my part and this child is now flying.
Mm.
So you try your best to keep that child in school, to keep that child away from gangsterism, to keep this child away from drugs and alcohol. But you are portraying these things in your family.
Of course.
You know, this child, I always make the analogy of Jacob, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob and Laban. When Jacob said to Laban, okay, listen, I've worked all these years for you. I want my part of the share, and I want to leave.
Mm.
Laban told him, no, that's fine, but you must take the streaked calves, and I will take the pure ones.
Sure.
So Jacob said, okay, no, that's fine. But listen to Jacob's reasoning. Jacob decided, you know what? I'm going to take tree bark. And I'm going to take the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to pull streaks in the bark and the branches. And then I'll put it in the water troughs. So when they come to drink, these mothers, they would look at the branches in the water that is streaked.
Mm-hmm.
And when they give birth, they gave birth to streaked animals.
Oh, okay.
And that is how he grew his flock.
Oh.
But the moral of the story for me is that what you see, you become.
Sure.
So
more than what you're told to become.
More than what you are told. In my book, I'm writing about it, that children don't become what you tell them they become. They become what they see in the family or your behavior. That is what. So I saw how my father behaved, you understand?
Yeah.
I never heard what he was trying to tell me and teach me. Yes, for that moment, if he says, get up and go and do the dishes, get up and go do your homework, I would obey him.
Yeah.
I would do it. But I watched his behavior, and for me, that was right.
And you replicated it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I didn't see anything else, you understand?
Yeah.
And I didn't deliberately tell myself, I'm going to be like my dad. I'm going to do what my dad is doing.
Sure.
Although I repelled it, you understand?
Of course.
I didn't want to be that.
Hence your arrangement to move out of out of it. Yeah, yeah.
But little did I know that, listen, this is inculcated in you. And it has never dawned on you that you need to have a change in your thinking and in your behavior. And I went through life that way.
You're actually reminding me of something, Pastor. I always tell the story, and I think the listeners know it by now, of how I came to forgive my father. He never apologized. But I, one day, in the middle of a conflict in a family meeting, and we didn't understand his behavior. We were now already adults as well. His sibling said, "No, in other words, our dad was like this." So they were excusing my dad's behavior because their dad's behavior was exactly the same. And in as much as that statement angered me in the moment, later on I sat with myself and the Holy Spirit said to me, do you realize that you're dealing with a scarred man? Do you realize that you're dealing with a man who does not know how else to behave because that's all he's ever known? And I was angry with God. I was like, no, but what, if that hurt him, if his dad's behavior hurt him, why is he doing it to us? But for me, that conversation with the Holy Spirit was a total game changer because it made me look at him differently. I was able to say, he knows no better. Yes, he's an adult. Yes, he can decide otherwise. But the truth and the reality is, where will he have learned better fatherhood? Yes, he can teach himself that. He can. But the reality is now he hasn't. The effects of his childhood are now trickling down to his adulthood and are affecting us as his children. And from that day, I never looked at him the same way. I forgave my dad. And believe it or not, without him ever apologizing, our relationship became much more better. He probably still doesn't understand what changed himself because now he's older and he has definitely become a better person now.
Okay.
I think we felt the effects of that because we were younger and needed him. But now that I'm older, I'm just like, listen, this man is a bruised man himself. So as you're speaking, I'm like, I thoroughly understand. You replicate the behavior not because you're choosing to.
No.
But because you know no better.
Exactly. And you see, in your case, you're still privileged because you still had your father with you.
Yeah.
And you could approach him. In my case, when I remember when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, it dawned on me that, you know, there's unforgiveness in your life. And upon a deeper search, I discovered, but you know what? Secretly, you hate your father.
Yeah, yeah.
You hate what he did. You hate where he brought you and the things that he never taught you.
Yeah.
So I too actually had to fall on my knees and, you know, pray for forgiveness and repent and ask the Lord that, okay, Lord, he may not be here anymore, but I need to forgive him. I want to move forward in my life, I have to let go of those things that I'm hating and holding against him.
Of course.
Because I actually held it against him because of what I've seen happening. But even at that moment, which was far before this book, even in that moment, I didn't realize where am I going and what am I doing. Until I finally dawned and said, okay, what happened to your life?
Yeah.
And why did it happen? That actually drove me to start writing the book. It's because then I began to search deeper and I realized, yeah, the way your life turned out, partly you to be blamed.
Of course.
Have to take that responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I realized, you know, that I would say about 70% is as a result of how I saw my father behaving and doing. Because remember, he never taught you about business.
Of course.
You know, my father didn't even talk to me about my schoolwork. He never even mentioned, listen, what are you going to do after school? You need to go to university. Although those days, for us in the apartheid regime,
wasn't
the only university was in Cape Town.
Oh.
So even that, he never said, you need to think about that. And you know, I saw another story that they actually show in business, is that when you teach your children about business, your children never starts at the bottom of the ladder.
You know,
when you go to work and they say you come out of school, you must go to university, you must start at the ladder.
Entry
we all
level.
Start there.
Exactly.
But when you, as a father, have your own business and you run your own business, you are setting your children apart because your children
never have to start from the bottom.
They don't start yet.
Oh, true, true.
They start where you are in your business, at that level where you are.
Sure.
So I realized, yeah, that is how important a father is. And you know, today it's so easy. It's so easy for fathers to either just make a baby and walk
and
away.
Leave. True, true.
And not to show a bad reflection on mothers, but mothers choose also to have that baby and raise that baby on their own.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Realizing that it is important for both of us to raise this child, because a father's presence does make a difference.
Definitely. You know, I always argue, Foster, to say, the father's presence is very important, and we need never, as mothers, to think we can play that role. It's okay, you can be the best mom, you can be a good mom, but the reality is you'll never be a dad.
No.
There is a part and a role that a father's got to play. And if it is missing, then it is missing. No matter how hard you try, you can't be a dad. You can only be a mom.
No, definitely not. You can't fulfill that role.
Yeah.
And you know, I always say, especially in today's world, it's a bit sad, you know, that they're trying to abdicate the fatherly role.
Mm.
And they try to propagate this thing that, yeah, but women are strong and we can, what the men can do, we can do. We can achieve all those things. We don't need them.
Yeah.
But you know, God never abdicated that role.
Of course.
And God never ever changed the role. He still keeps it up until today. Whether we propagate whatever we have, it's the human race, God never changes. And He never changes what He has ordained to be.
Sure.
The family is God's institution of building His kingdom.
Sure. But tell me now, Pastor Solomons, when you speak of sabotage, what are you alluding to exactly? Why and why did you choose this particular title, though?
When I use sabotage, I'm not meaning it in a bad way.
Okay.
You understand? Because the word itself has a bad connotation.
Of course.
But for me, I want to bring attention to fathers more than anything else, that you know your absence, you sabotage your child.
True.
Your behavior, whether it be due to alcohol, whether it be due to drugs, or whether it's just generally you as a person, that behavior sabotages your child. So fathers don't realize it. They're not deliberate to say, I am going to sabotage my children. Mm. Or, you know, this behavior by coming drunk home or by not being in present with my children, I'm going to sabotage my children.
Sure.
No, they don't. But that is exactly
what you do.
How you sabotage your children.
Mm.
When you are not present,
sure,
you are depriving that child. You are robbing that child of your presence, whereas you could have put in an encouraging word. You can be home as a father, and you can be on your phone.
I was going to say you can be physically present, but emotionally absent.
Yes.
Mm.
You can be there, and you can be watching TV all the time. Not even aware that this child is around you, or this child is talking to you, or this child is looking for your attention.
Mm.
So that is how you sabotage.
Mm. Sure. Now, what are some of the main core things that you actually address in the book that you want to bring to our attention this afternoon?
The core thing that I would like to bring to people's attention is presence.
Mm.
That
not
is
not presence. Presence.
Presence.
Mm.
That is key. That is important.
Sure.
Because I'll use this example. One day I went to print my books.
Mm.
And then the printer said, well, he said I'm going to meet him there.
Okay.
And then when I got there, I waited for more than an hour for him.
What?
So I decided, well, I'm going to leave. And then just as I was leaving, he called me, said, where are you? I said, well, I'm on my way. I'm leaving. He said, no, 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 no. Please come back. I said, no, I already paid for my
waiting.
For my ticket and what. He said, no, don't worry. We'll sort it out. Just come back, please. I'll take you home. I'll make something. I'll make a plan for you. So he ended up taking me home. And while we were driving, he asked a question. He said to me, but now I know that what your titles say, but actually what do you mean?
It's not so what you intend.
Yeah. So I told him exactly what I'm telling you during this interview. And he said to me, yeah, I hear what you are saying, but I've been there. Mm. It's just that I was so busy making money, because he runs his own printing shop.
Yeah.
I was so busy making money and seeing to the needs of my children that I wasn't present, but I made money to support them. And I had to say him exactly that, you know, you not being present made the difference. And that caused you to sabotage your children.
Mm,
yes, you had good intentions.
True.
Because you wanted to make money, you wanted to see that they love, you wanted to see that they have the best. But you are absent. What did you teach your children?
Yeah.
What did they see you doing? How did they notice you behaving with your wife, with them? That interaction. You know, if you watch your father, and how compassionate your father is towards you, towards your siblings, towards your mother, you will emulate those behaviors in your own family.
True.
And that is what's missing.
Sure.
And that is what I'm trying to bring to fathers, is that yes, you may have all that good intentions. You may be present and yet absent. And you think that, well, as long as I'm there, it's fine. But it's not fine.
You're actually reminding me of something, Pastor Neville. You know, oftentimes I say the things we do for our children have little to do with them, but everything to do with us. The opportunities that we seek out for them, it's probably because we didn't have them. And so we're doing it for them because we're closing that gap.
Yes.
But someone once said, our children really remember the things we did for them, but they definitely remember how we made them feel. You know, I might take you to the best schools, great, but one day they're going to turn around and we're going to think they're ungrateful. And they're going to say, I would have much rather not received that best education but had you around me.
Yes, exactly.
You're busy grinding because you want them to go to an affluent school. And they're like, I was okay with like a mediocre school according to you, as long as I had my dad with me.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's exactly what you are saying there. You know, we tried to think that we are doing the best for our children by giving them all the material things and all the things that we think a good education, the best school in life. We think that those things matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly as you say. The child will tell you, no, yeah, thank you for that. It's good. But you mattered more than those things.
Sure.
And that is what we need to bring home.
Mm.
At the end of the day, is that your presence really matters. It makes a difference.
Now, Pastor Solomon, you speak of you realizing much later on that you were emulating your dad's behavior. Tell me, by this point in time, how did you then try to go back and right that wrong to your children? And how did that look like?
You know, it's very sad.
Mm.
The way it turned out for me, it's very sad because I can't even blame my children for that. But my children turned out not to want to have anything to do with me, in essence, because of how I behaved.
Mm.
You know, and in spite of me trying to make an effort and reaching out and sending messages, asking for forgiveness.
Were they now adults by now?
They were adults now.
Okay.
And then they just decided, you know what, the things that you did and what you said, it's unforgivable.
Mm.
And I can't hold them to that.
Of course. You can't force them to forgive.
No, I did it. But all I can do is show to them that, you know, I still love you.
Mm.
I still care about you. In spite of all those things, I'm still willing to reach out and say, listen, let's make it work.
Mm.
Let's try it one more time.
Mm.
But if they don't want to, you simply cannot change a child's mind.
True. Sure.
So that is also what I want to bring to fathers, is that, you know, children will reach a point where they say, cut off.
Mm.
This is the bottom line.
Sure.
Yes, I understand you want forgiveness. Yes, I understand that you want to try and make right. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I also want to encourage fathers, you know, don't give up. It's never too late to try and make things work. Yeah, when I came to that awareness, I realized, wow, I really didn't realize the damage that I did.
Yeah.
You understand? And what my behavior really did.
Sure.
But I had to get up.
And pick yourself
and
up
say,
again.
Listen, no. You have to go back and make right, and you have to ask for forgiveness, and you have to show them that, listen, it wasn't intentional.
Mm.
Because to them also it appears that, but this guy is then actually intentionally behaving this way, and surely he must be thinking what he's doing. You can't tell me that he doesn't think, but it doesn't occur to you.
Mm.
Like I've said earlier, your only intention is, I want the best for this child. This child must turn out better than what I am.
Yeah.
And you know, you saw your father by slapping you and giving you a hiding and shouting at you and calling you names. You thought that he got the results maybe that he thought he wanted. Meantime, he never got those results. And you don't even realize in that moment, I'm doing the same thing. What results am I expecting?
Sure.
So,
hectic. So it's from that place where you sat and said, not another dad has to experience the same thing or go through the same ordeal.
No.
Yeah,
definitely
enough is enough.
Not. Yeah, definitely not. Fathers got to realize you know. And there's some fathers who may be thinking that, but I'm doing good. I am working for my children. I am working for my family. I'm bringing home the bacon and they're all having a good time. It's not even what they want.
Sure.
They want you. They want your presence. They want you to go with them to the mall. Go with them to that game. Spend time with them, even if they are sitting amongst their friends. They want them. They may not say it to you openly. They may not even be showing their desire. But that is what children want.
Somebody said, maybe do stock take. Sit down with them and ask, am I still fathering well?
Yeah.
Sure.
Be open with it.
Are you happy with it? Exactly.
It's. I don't think it's a conversation that we as fathers want to have and realize that I have to ask the hard questions myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like you're saying that, am I the father that you want me to be?
Sure. And obviously, parents, this is not as a form of manipulation. You know, children can be really manipulative, but do hear them out. Do hear them out.
Yeah, and sometimes they can be brutally honest.
True.
You know, I mean, what will you do if your child... No, man, I don't think you're a father to me. I don't think you're doing a good job here. But, you know, it opens up the conversation. Okay, why am I not doing a good job? What makes you think that or say that?
And you listen without being defensive.
No. And also without bearing grudges or, you know, thinking, well, I'm going to sort you out in my time. I get what you are saying, but
I'm going to get you back.
My time will come, don't worry. So yeah, and I think it's something important.
Yeah.
And it's something that we don't really want to do.
Yeah.
Or we don't think that it is necessary. You know, you think that I am the parent and I ought to know better and I must do what I think is good. But little do you realize, but the child has a perspective too.
Exactly, exactly.
They may not know what parenting is all about.
But they also know how they want to be treated.
Yes, and that is important.
Sure.
It's important, you know, to the Bible also says in Proverbs 18, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you don't realize as a father, those words that you speak shapes the child.
True, true.
Because the things that you say to that child, it sticks with that child.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Absolutely powerful. Now, you also speak of another book that is currently underway, that's coming on these days, without really touching much into it because we are still yet to discuss that one. Tell me, how is it a support to this current one? Because you did make a mention that there is a sense of interconnectedness between these two books.
The way that one will connect with this book, it's all the behaviors, if you go through the book is the How to Sabotage Your Children. It's got phases in it. And the new book will interlink with the behavior that you have displayed or are displaying as a father. Or let me put it this way. Those behaviors that I saw in my father and that I emulated, it will help you in terms of circumventing that.
Yeah.
You will learn how to overcome that. And also, you come to the stage of your life where you think, well, all is lost. And I think that is also the core of that book, is to encourage the fathers. It's not too late.
True.
Doesn't matter where your children are, doesn't matter how old they are, there are principles in there that you can still apply.
It's never too late.
It's never too late.
Pastor Solomon, you and I could go on and on and on, but I don't want you to run out here without giving us details on how we can get our hands on this book. And just, you know, what is your parting message to us and what you'd love to bring to our attention today?
For me, the parting message would be that, number one, the core is to be present.
Be present.
Secondly, speak life into your children.
Yeah.
Tell them how awesome they are, how good they are, how lovely they are. Encourage them. And then finally, be the example that you want your children to carry into their families.
Yeah.
You know, show them that you are compassionate, you are loving. I know those are attributes that we as men don't find easy to display.
True.
But that is what we learn from. That is what we take away from the relationship. In terms of getting my book, my email address is Neville Saul, NevilleSol, at iCloud.com. You can send me an email and we can arrange as how you can get the hard copy, or you can go on Amazon. It's available on Amazon as well.
Pastor Neville, thank you so much. An absolute eye opener, I must say. Really appreciate this chat, and be blessed.
Luko, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it, and I hope it was helpful to the listeners as well.
God bless.
Bless you too.
Your daily spiritual nourishment.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Do you want to grow your business or ministry? Radio Pulpit is a reliable Christian media voice with over 40 years of impact in South Africa and globally. We can help spread the word for your business or ministry and attract more people to your unique value offering. Contact us now by sending an SMS with the word SALES to 37871. Email sales at radiopulpit.co.za or visit radiopulpit.co.za for our rate card with highly competitive and affordable rates. We would love to help you grow.
Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.